It's been several weeks since I've even got to preach anywhere, and all of a sudden I'm like in a three-week thing now, so I like that. So it's great to be back in the pulpit tonight. How many people kind of grew up around the 70s area? Anybody that old in here? That first song that he sung, my son is 16. He has got to where he has fallen in love with 70s music. And when I was in the 70s, my mom and dad used to jump on me telling me that, Mike, that some of that music you're listening to is kind of a little bit hard. But now you listen to it today, it's kind of like pretty soft compared to what's out there today. But anyway, that song came on because we have that 70s channel in our car. So I had to explain that song to him. That song first came out, I think, every church in the whole world singing that song when it first came out. So I was singing it with him. A song would come on the radio, he'll say, Dad, you know that one? I just break out singing with him. But anyway, we have fun together. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 for this evening. Appreciate your faithfulness, especially with it's kind of snowy outside. Don't worry if we get snowed in. Brother Daniel has went and bought steaks for everybody. So we're going to have a good time eating back there if we all get snowed in tonight. We have plenty of room to lay out here in the seats and all, so don't worry about that. I guess we have to do it like communion. We have to take and break it, won't we? This evening I'd like to preach in Genesis chapter 32, begin with verse 29. Genesis chapter 32, verse 29. Let me ask you a question before I read this one verse. How many in here likes to be blessed? Amen. I think we all like blessings, don't we? I mean, blessings come in many forms, different sizes and all, right? Brother Brian, you've been blessed with a nice wife. I know he's kin to Daniel, but I'm sorry, but I think she takes after her mama. But anyway, we all have different blessings, whether it's blessing with a job, blessings with a family. Y'all been blessed with a nice church. Amen. You've been blessed with a great pastor. Man, they really amen right there. You hear that? But, you know, blessings come in many different... We were blessed with your singing tonight. We appreciate you singing tonight. We were blessed with that tonight. So tonight I like to preach on, and the Lord blessed him there. Look at verse 29. The Bible says, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Can we all say that last line together? And he blessed him there. Let's say that again. And he blessed him there. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Lord, this is a great day because, Lord, it's a day that you've made. Lord, maybe things didn't go the way we wanted them to go today. Or, Lord, maybe they went even better than we ever anticipated. But, Lord, anyway, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for helping us through this day. Lord, I pray now as we have our message tonight, Lord, I just pray that you'll speak through me on the message you've given me to give. Lord, may I please you in this message. Lord, may this message draw us all closer to thee. Lord, may it make us realize where the blessings come from. And Lord, just help us tonight as we get into your word. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, this chapter records several crucial experiences of Jacob in his life as he makes his way away from Laban's house. Now, let's think about Laban for a second. Laban was a man that had two daughters. I can't whistle. Jacob got his eyes on one. Her name was Rachel. I'm telling you, she was good looking. Man, she was like your wife. She was pretty. Am I right? She was a gorgeous lady. Now, he worked 7 years for this woman. Some marriages don't even last 7 years. He worked 7 years just to get this woman. He wakes up the next morning after he worked 7 long years. He was excited. I mean, for him, this was going to be his honeymoon. He was excited. He wakes up the next morning besides the old ugly sister. She was homely. She was not as pretty as her sister. So this man, Jacob, works another 7 years in order to get Rachel. That's a total of 14 years he labored in order to get Rachel. I'm telling you, that's love. Am I right? That's love. Let's stop here for this is just a little extra I'm going to throw in here since this is a revival. You want revival, right?
Amen.
If you want revival, men, you're going to have to love your wife as much as Jacob loved Rachel. Amen? I mean, you're going to have to love her regardless of what she looks like. I didn't get any amens there. Y'all put it very smart right there. Regardless of how she acts, regardless of how she cooks, you're going to have to love that little woman. If you're going to have revival, men, you have to learn to love your wife. And you'll never experience revival in this church until, first of all, you learn how to love your wife and your family first, and then you'll know how to love God. Amen? Of course, you love God first, but what I'm getting at, if you learn how to love your wife, this church can have revival. Amen? So then he works another 6 years for his material possessions. For a total of 20 years, here's this man, Jacob, that had worked 20 years to get his wife and to get his material possessions, 20 long years. Now, let's think about the life of Jacob, because the life of Jacob started even worse than that before this time. I mean, he had stole his birthright from his brother Esau before this happened. So now, all of a sudden, Esau's coming on the scene and he's going to be meeting up with his past. His forgotten past, he's getting ready to meet up with what had happened before he spent 20 long years getting his wife and his wealth. Now, in his mind, he's thinking, well, how is Esau going to accept him? Now, let's look what he did in verses 13 and verse 15. And as we think about the past, now we all have a past. Am I correct? Now, some of your past may not be too good. I know my dad, bless his heart, when he was young, my dad used to drink. Hey, I mean, he would go out there and drink, party, steal things. And the Lord saved his soul, and my dad became a preacher later on and began to preach against stuff like that. It's amazing how God works. My dad had a past. But now, even though my dad had a past, my dad used to love to drink. And my dad used to tell me, even years later, that when he'd go into a grocery store and he'd walk past the beer aisle, he would have to be very, very careful because that old nature was still within him. And if he wasn't careful, he would walk past that beer aisle, even being a preacher, and begin to crave what his past used to crave for. So then we think about the past. Sometimes we have to come face to face with our past. Although we're saved, although we're born again, although we're trying to live right for God, sometimes the past will flare up right there in our face and we have to deal with it. So now here Esau is Jacob's past. He has showed up on the scene and Esau is thinking, well, Jacob's thinking, well, what am I going to do? Let's notice first of all what he does in verse 13 through verse 15. The Bible says that he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. Now, let's think, what is Jacob doing? Jacob knows that Esau is coming. So Jacob's in his mind thinking, well, I'm going to appease him by giving him some gifts. And if I give him some gifts and presents, maybe he'll take it easy on me. That's what he's thinking. Now, look at the next verse, verse 14. And I want you to know what he gives him. It says, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels and their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. Now that's a lot of wealth right there, am I right? That's a lot of wealth. I mean, can you imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, I'm going to give you a brand new Corvette, and also I'm going to give you a brand new four-wheel drive Chevrolet truck. I mean, can you imagine getting two gifts like that at the same time? That is probably what this amounted up to. It was a lot of money, a lot of wealth that he was giving his brother, but he was doing these things to appease him because his forgotten past was coming toward him, and he was wanting to make sure that he had something in his mind that he could give him to make things a little bit better. Now, even after all these years, now remember, he had served Laban for 20 years. Even after all these years, he was still afraid of Esau. Let's go back to verse 7. The Bible says, then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands and said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company, which is left, shall escape. So he was very much afraid of Esau. He's thinking in his mind, well, if I split my wealth up into two bands, if Esau overtakes one band, at least I still have half my wealth, and I can go on my way with half my wealth. He was afraid of Esau. Now, this evening, I want to know some things about the last part of verse 29, where that little phrase again says, and he blessed him there. I believe that God's going to give you some blessings this week if you'll obey God in every message that God brings your way. I'm not sure what Brother Vaughn preached last night. We went to Brother Foster's church last night. My son had never been to an all-black church in his whole life. There was one man on the very back in this corner the entire time. We'll let you do it tonight in this other corner. The entire time this guy was preaching, he was from Arkansas. Man preached a great message last night. He kept saying, whoa, whoa. Instead of amen, he was saying, whoa. So that's going to be your, there you go, you got it, you got it. But it was a great time to hear those people just get in the Spirit of God as that young guy was preaching last night. Again, verse 29, and he blessed him there. Now, where did the Lord bless this man? I want to receive the blessings of God, and if we can understand how God blessed Jacob, maybe then we can understand how God can bless us through the experiences of what Jacob went through. Where did the Lord bless this man? Now, the very first thing we discover is that the Lord blessed Jacob in a place where he was all alone. Look at verse 24. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, think about this thing. He's all alone. Nobody else is around. He's there all by himself. He has lots of servants. There were no servants around. The servants would influence his thinking, so he left his servants. There were no herds or sheep around. He was all alone, all by himself. In other words, it would be the material possessions. The servants would more or less represent the friends, those that he hangs out with. So his friends were gone from him. His material possessions was not there in front of him, looking at him face to face. Also, his family was not there. See, sometimes our family gets in our way from serving God. Now, we need our families. Trust me, we all need our families. Amen. Families are very important in this life. We need our families. But sometimes families will get in our way from serving God. We all need some alone time with God, all by ourselves, away from our families, away from our material possessions, and away from our friends. We need that alone time with God, all by ourselves, with nobody else around. Nobody but you and God. Somebody shows up on the scene and wrestles him, and it's none other than God. He got alone, away from all the influences of this life, all by himself. He's there alone, and as he got alone, God shows up on the scene. Amen. Now you think, well, I haven't had the experience of having any alone time with God. And let me say also, men, that you need some alone time with your wife.
Amen.
Thank you.
Whoa.
There you go. You got it. You need some alone time with your wife as well. But he was a man that just got alone with God. And when he got alone all by himself, away from his wife, away from his children, away from his servants, and away from his wealth, that is when God shows up on the scene. When everything else left him, he's all alone, God shows up, and God begins to deal with him. When's the last time you wrestled with God? When's the last time you got alone with God? And as you got alone with God, God began to deal with your heart on some issues that's in your life that you need to deal with. But yet you are being slow to deal with those things that you should have dealt with. But yet Jacob is alone with God, not allowing the influences to stand between him and God. Now the Bible says all night long he had wrestled with God. But one thing that Jacob refused to do, Jacob refused to admit that he had sinned against God. Now we think about Jacob, we think about the good things Jacob did, right? All the blessings, how God blessed him. But yet Jacob went through some trials and all that, but it all started back when God wrestled with Jacob. He got alone with God and God was wrestling with him. That is when Jacob began to open his eyes to the things of God. Now you want God again to deal with you tonight and bless you. The very first thing you must understand and realize is you have to get alone with God, just you and nobody else, just you and God all by yourself, and hang out with God and just spend some time with Him. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you know, we communicate to God through prayer, right? I talk to my son every day, whether I want to or not. Every day I talk to him. No, Luke's a blessing, really. He's a big blessing. I talk to him every day. I communicate with him every day. I get him out of bed to go to school. When it's time to eat, I call him to the table. When it's time to take the trash out, I holler at him. But I communicate with him every day. Every day I communicate. Communication is very important. So how do I communicate with God? It's through prayer. Now, every day you should communicate through prayer. Brother Foster has given his congregation a challenge that every day pray at least three times a day. Pray three times a day for revival. I thought that was a good challenge for the congregation. Daniel prayed three times a day, did he not? And when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, what took place? He slept like a baby, didn't he? But he prayed three times a day. So we pray to communicate with God. Now, if we're going to get alone with God and we're going to talk to God and God's going to talk back to us, we're going to have to get into the Word of God as we're alone with God. I'm wondering today, did anybody in this building even pick your Bible up? Don't answer. But did you pick the Word of God up today and even look at it? Or did you leave it laid on the shelf? Did you even pick it up to even read a verse? To ask God to deal with your heart? On my phone every day, I have a verse that comes to my phone every day. And the first thing I do in the morning, I pick my phone up. I look at the verse of the day. That's my first thing. And then I pray. I just want to see what God has for me in that verse. I just read that little verse. Of course, I read the Bible too. But what about reading God's Word? You get along with God, you pray, and you read the Word of God. You pray, you communicate to God. You read God's Word, God communicates back with you. How do we know what to preach, Brother Daniel? We read, and God reveals it, right? It's amazing. We can be reading, just doing our daily Bible reading, and you're wondering, when am I going to preach Sunday? All of a sudden, boom, while you're reading, God gives it to you. And it has nothing to do with what you're even reading. He'll give it to you and you'll jot it down. Man, this is good. You start writing it down. God communicates back to us. So there again, Jacob is all alone with God and Jacob is wrestling with God. Now, this wrestling got so intense, the Bible says that the Lord grabbed his thigh. And when the Lord grabbed his thigh came out of joint. That's a pretty good wrestling match right there, is it not? I mean, he wrestled with God. Now, let me ask you a question. We all have children. Most of us do. When you tell your children to do something, who usually wins? Tell me, Brian. Okay, that's what I want to hear. Usually the parents normally wins that fight, right? The parents should win that. The parents should, yeah. Yes, let's get that right. Supposed to win that fight. But now, wait a minute. Jacob is wrestling with God. He has wrestled all night long. And you know when you don't get any sleep, you get a little agitated, a little irritated.
Amen.
You ever get that way before? You can't sleep. Have you ever sat up all night worrying over something? And you ever told God you're not going to do something? I mean, you wrestle with God. And listen, for 2 years, I wrestled with God. For two long years, God says, Mike, I want you to preach. And I said, God, I'm not going to do it. I just plainly flat out told God, I'm not going to do it. Guess who won? God won. I was a little hard-headed. It took a beat to get me to go where I'm supposed to go. But Anyway, God wins that battle. God wins. Now, not only was the Lord able to bless Jacob while he was alone, but also while he was afraid. And we read back in verse 7. Verse 7 again says, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." So Jacob was very much afraid, but while Jacob was afraid, because he didn't know what Esau was going to do, while he was afraid, verse 29, the Bible says what again? And, say it, the Lord blessed him there. Ever been a time in your life you didn't know what to do? You're praying for God's will. You're wrestling with God. God tells you to do something, but you don't listen. So you wrestle. And you know God's going to win. But yet you just keep on saying no. And of course, God wins. But there are some times as we wrestle with God, we say no to God because we're afraid. We are afraid of the unknown. Just like if I could have just not laughed, I could have easily scared Daniel or that bear that night. But I was just dying laughing. I was picturing Daniel just jumping up like a little girl and screaming like a girl and running down the hill to the other preachers. But I mean, has there not ever been a time in your life that you were so afraid that you knew what God wanted you to do, but being so afraid, you just couldn't do it? You ever been so scared before you wanted to scream, but yet you opened your mouth and nothing came out? That would have been Daniel that night if I just wouldn't have laughed. But what I'm getting at, Jacob was afraid. Esau was coming. Although Esau was coming and Jacob was afraid, Jacob, the Bible says, and the Lord blessed him there. So as you live your life this week and God reveals something to you and you say, "Well, God, I can't do those things," and you become very much afraid of what God is asking you to do, you just remember Jacob, and the Lord blessed him there. Amen?
Amen?
So first of all, where did the Lord bless this man? And the Lord blessed him there. Now, next question, let's ask ourselves, when did God bless this man? When did God bless this man? Now, I believe that God blessed Jacob, first of all, when an intensity came into his praying. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, "And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Verse 27 says, "And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob." Now, wait a minute. An intensity came into his praying. Now, let me give an example of intensity. I learned this at a young age. I've never forgotten it. I was 12 years old. I was behind my house. There was a creek. Beside our house was a cow pasture with cows in it. One day, I decided I was barefooted. I went down to the creek. It had just rained. The creek had overflowed its banks and water was everywhere. So I thought, well, I'm going to hit the creek. I'm just going to the cow pasture for a little while and go up the little creek there and play. And I thought, well, I'll just go through the fence. Well, the fence was electric. I thought the fence was off. You know what I did? Barefooted, standing in water with both hands, I grabbed the fence to pull it up to get through. And guess what I was doing? I couldn't let go. The intensity of that electricity kept me there. And I'm telling you, I was screaming, I couldn't let go. After I shook so much, finally my hand shook off that fence. And guess what? I went back to the house. That was intensity. Now, let's think about the intensity of praying. We see in verse 26, Jacob is praying. Now, have you ever wanted something so much you just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed? When the Lord called me into the ministry, I was 29 years old when I finally said yes. When the Lord called me into the ministry, I surrendered to the Lord at a watch night service, New Year's Eve night. My dad let me preach the last message of the night, so I was in the pulpit preaching. I had told nobody what my intentions were, but when I finished preaching, I stopped a couple minutes early because at 12 o'clock, my dad always liked for everybody to be on their knees at the altar praying at 12 o'clock. So I stopped a little bit early and I began to do a little testifying, and I let the church there that night know that the Lord had called me to the ministry and tonight I was surrendering to preach. My wife's jaw just dropped. She did not marry a preacher. She married a cool guy. I mean, that was the first she heard of it, was that night when I accepted the call to preach. That was the first she heard of it. She had to learn how to deal and get herself ready to be a preacher's wife. So I surrendered to the call of preaching. I said all that to say this: for the next 6 months, churches are so doggone slow when it comes to getting a preacher. I'm really finding that out right now. I'm like in the top three of like in four different churches, and I still hadn't heard nothing. I am going to preach at one this Sunday in North Carolina, but they're so doggone slow. Maybe I should change over to Methodist. You think they're any faster? I'm just joking there. For the next 6 months, I didn't care what people thought about me. I came to the altar every service for the next 6 months. I got on my knees at the altar. I know God answers your prayers everywhere, right? But to me, the altars are special. I mean, the altars are here for a reason. The altar's not here just to make us be a little taller. And Mike, some of us needs that, don't we? the altar's here for us to gather around and get in touch with God. Amen. This is the holy place. So there again, we think about the altar. So for 6 months, every service, I came to the altar and I prayed. And within, I think it was really about 5 months. But the Lord opened up the church that was getting ready to call this guy. Was Snowville Baptist. They was getting ready to call this guy to preach, and they said, "No, let's hear one more guy." Well, that was me. I went up there and preached 2 Sundays in a row, and they called me to preach. I think it's because of the intensity of praying and asking God for something specific. Jacob, the intensity got serious with God. He's there wrestling with God. Then in verse 26, we see he's praying. He is talking to God. He is wrestling and he's talking to God. The intensity of praying and asking God what you want with your life. But it's not really necessarily asking God what you want with your life. It's really asking God what he wants out of your life. Amen? There's a difference there. Because when we pray, we don't pray selfishly saying, "Okay, God," I've heard this prayer many times, "God, if you just kill this person in this church, our church would be so much better off." Hopefully y'all hadn't prayed no prayers like that. That is not of God at all.
Amen.
The Bible says to love your enemies. Amen.
Amen.
So why are you trying to kill somebody in your church? You're trying to get people in. You're not trying to get them out the door. You're trying to get them in church to get right with God.
Amen.
I went to a church, I guess about a month ago, this one young guy was preaching, the church in North Carolina. This one young guy was preaching, and it's just a very small church. This little guy gets up there and says, "I'd rather preach to 25 people that loves God than to preach to 500 who half of them don't love God." I'm thinking, you don't have my heart. I'd rather preach to the 500 people and get them to love God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You have your 25 that's living right. But there's a lot in that 500 congregation that's not living right. Let's preach and get them to live right. So there again, you know, there needs to be an intensity in our prayer life that don't look at circumstances. Just go with what God gives you and pray with intensity in your prayer life. Now, I want you to ask your neighbor this question. We're going to do like a wedding. Whoever you're sitting beside, whether it's man or woman, it doesn't matter. Y'all ready? Repeat after me. Is that what you're doing, Noetti? Repeat after me. Are you the kind? Y'all did that very good. Of Christian that God can trust and use. Now that's a legitimate question, is it not? Now, we're on the thought, when did God bless this man? If you're not the kind of Christian that God wants you to be, don't expect God to bless you of your expectations of what you want. Amen? I mean, God's going to bless, out here in the summertime when you plant your crops and all these people who don't live right, and we pray for rain and God sends a rain, they get blessed with rain too. Amen? Amen. So there again, as we think about, are we the kind of Christian that God can use or entrust? Now, God asked Jacob, what is your name? Now, that is probably about the craziest question that you can think that God could ever ask. But it's not. Again, God asked, what is your name? Now, did not God have enough knowledge to know who Jacob was? I mean, does not the Bible say that God knows the very stars of heaven? He calls them all by name. Does not the Bible say that God knows the very hairs of your head? And He numbers your hairs on your head. And if you're like me, the older you get, the more you have more in the sink than you do on your brush or on your head. But God knows everything. So why in the world would God ask the question in these verses, what is your name? Well, a man doesn't not truly see himself until, first of all, he sees the Lord. Now, this question forced Jacob to confess his true self. What is your name? Well, my name's Jacob. No, let me ask that question again. What is your name? My name's Jacob. You know, Abraham, Isaac, I'm Jacob. No, what is your name? After God had wrestled with him all night, Jacob had to admit what his name really was. I am Jacob the schemer. Now, think about Jacob the schemer. See, God had wrestled with him all night long to try to get him to understand and realize who he really was. Jacob, his entire life, had been a schemer. It all started back, his schemes with his mother that got him his birthright. His dad was getting ready to bless Esau. Mom overheard the thing, and they went out to fix the food. And you know what Mom does? Mom fixes the meal. But then she puts a little hair on Jacob's arm. Jacob stands before his father being blind. And all of a sudden his dad says, well, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. You know what he was doing? He was scheming his daddy. He schemed his daddy right out of the birthright that belonged to Esau. He was Jacob the schemer. Am I right? And then we think about the situation with Laban. He also schemed Laban. I am Jacob the schemer. He went before Jacob. As Jacob went before Laban, Jacob was a poor man. But when Jacob left Laban's house, Jacob was a rich man. Jacob had schemed Laban out of his two daughters and out of his wealth. He had money upon money. He was a rich man. But now we come to this chapter, and he's scheming his own brother Esau. Esau's coming, and again, he's very much afraid, as we saw in verse 7. He's very much afraid. So now he says, as we saw in verse 13 through verse 15, he's thinking, well, if I'll give him a lot of gifts, I'll scheme him, I'll pay him off, and my life will be saved. He's nothing but a schemer. Amen? Amen? Now, here's the thought behind all that. How does God see you? When God says, what is your name? What does God see in you? You want to have revival. You want to be blessed. But as God looks at your life, and you're asking God, okay, God, I want to be blessed. And you're talking to God, and God says, okay, what is your name? What stands behind your name? What about your testimony? How have you lived to please God? And what are you doing to further the gospel on this earth that we're living in? So when did God bless this man? When an integrity came into his thinking about himself, that is when God blessed this man. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I don't always live right. I don't always make the right decisions. I know that's hard to believe, isn't it? No, it's not. But sometimes we make decisions. I tell people all the time, don't ever judge a person on the decisions they're making. You're not in their shoes. You have no idea what they've gone through. Don't ever judge anybody. And by the way, you can't have revival if you judge one another either, right? There's no way you can have revival if you're going to judge one another. If we got judged by what we have not done, or got judged by what we did and done it wrong, we'd be being judged all the time, wouldn't we? It's just like in my marriage counseling, I tell this all the time. I just told somebody this just 2 weeks ago, and I was trying to help out a couple. When you have an argument, any couples ever have arguments in here? She's always, I heard that. She's always right. But I was just telling a couple the other week, because as I was counseling them, the woman was pouring out her heart and telling what she felt like her husband needed to hear. So I was looking at the husband as all this was taking place, and he was over trying to think about, what am I going to say back? What am I going to say back? He wasn't even listening. You have to learn to listen, men. Yeah. Amen. Vice versa, women, you have to learn to listen. You're not going to settle your disputes if you want to do all the talking. You have to learn to listen and settle things out by communicating and listening with an open mind of what the individual is saying. So now we think about Jacob. Jacob is listening now to God, of what God wants him to do. Jacob's heart's open now. He had wrestled all night long with God. All night he had wrestled with God. I mean, he is fatigued. He is wore out. God had got him to the part where he had broke him. And let me say, you're not going to be used of God if God breaks you first. Amen? Amen? You have to be broken before you can be used of God. I see so many times people think this church could not operate without them. Anybody like that in your church? Don't answer that. Okay. But let me say that when you're dead and gone, this church will still be here. Am I right? When Brother Boone passes away one day, this church will go on. Amen? When Brother Stanley, the deacon right here, passes away, there'll be another one. Amen. So there again, if we're going to be used of God, first of all, we have to be broken. We have to get to the point and place. If we're going to be blessed of God, we have to be broken to where God can use us. So what about the integrity of your thinking tonight? Are you where God can use you? And then last of all, y'all like that? Y'all like those words best of all tonight, haven't you? And last of all, how did God bless Jacob? I think that's a good question. I want to know how God blessed Jacob, because I want to be blessed by God. How did God bless Jacob? Well, we can gather how the Lord blessed him if we listen, first of all, what he said to him in verse 28. The Bible says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, God's blessing is initially a call to holiness of life. Did we get a hold of that? God's blessing initially is a call to holiness. God is holy. God expects us to be holy. Amen. I hear so many churches saying, man, we had a huge crowd. God really blessed us. God does not put degrees of blessings because of the crowd or size of the congregation. Amen. Again, it's a call to holiness. If we can't, usually being blessed of God is usually... Now, I'm a firm believer, we should not push our convictions upon other people. What God convicts me of, there are some things that God wants me to do that maybe God does not call you to do. So I can't push my convictions upon you. I can preach the Word of God, of what God's Word says, but when God speaks to me personally, I cannot push my personal convictions upon you. God has to speak to you about your convictions. Amen? Amen. So now, it's not a lowering of a standard to be blessed of God, but initially it is a rising of a standard that brings that cool blessing upon us. God's going to bless us. But when we have a rise of a standard in our life to holiness, boy, God's really pleased with that. It's not living like the world, it's living like Christ wants us to live in this world. The world has a lot to offer. Amen? And it's okay for me to have some things that are in this world, if those things in this world does not take the place of God. Amen. I tell my kids my dream car is a 1958 Corvette. God has not blessed me with one yet. My son told me the other day, "Dad, I'm gonna get a great job, and I'm gonna buy you that 58 Corvette." I said, "Wow." I mean, whoa, yeah, whoa. Now, the blessing went beyond that when you examine not simply what he said to him, but it's what he said of him. Look at verse 28 again. It says, "As a prince, thou hast power with God and with men." So now the real blessing that God gives is not something he gives to us, but it's something he wants us to give to others through us. Now the whole blessing that came to Jacob that day was that God lifted him to a condition to where he would be usable. Now what came out of Jacob's life later? The 12 tribes of Israel. Right? I believe it all started right here, because you go to chapter 49 in Genesis, that's where it talks about his 12 sons. When he's on his deathbed, he's going to bless his 12 sons. Reuben, being the first son, could not get the inheritance because he lay with Bilhad, his father's concubine. So that's a good chapter to study. So now, as we conclude this all tonight, and we think about, first of all, in verse 29, "And the Lord blessed him there." Where did the Lord bless this man? When did God bless this man? And how did God bless this man? Now, where Jacob fitted into his eternal purpose of God, that he was going to reach the ends of the earth, but yet God also has something for us to reach people. He uses us to reach people. How does the church grow? He uses us to reach people. How does people get saved? He uses us to spread the gospel. Amen. To get people saved. Now we know that the will of God, as we fit into this world, God, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now you may be here tonight lost without Jesus Christ. I don't know. God sees your heart. I don't see it. But God sees it. You may be lost here without Jesus tonight. For you to fit into his eternal purpose, God would have you tonight to be saved and born again before you leave this building. That's where you fit into his purpose, is to be born again. But now, as a Christian, you also fit into his purpose as well, is finding what God wants you to do and going to what he wants you to do and being used of God, not for prestige on your part, but yet to give God the honor and glory for what God does in our lives. So again, "And the Lord blessed him there." Let's all stand.